Good morning, church. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the First United Methodist Church of Loomis. My name is Bonnie, and we are the Celebration Band, and we are so glad you're here with us this morning. I think we have an announcement this morning. If anyone has an announcement, please stand and...
Good morning, everyone. My name is Ariana Anist, and this is Valerie Brown, and we also have Paris West in our group, but she's busy today, so she cannot come and talk with us. We go to Loomis Basin Charter School in Loomis, California, and it is an international baccalaureate school, and one of the requirements for the eighth graders is a big community service project throughout the year. So we went into the intent of helping refugees because we believe that every human being deserves a safe home. And so since October, we have been working on trying to raise awareness and money for this cause.
For our action, we found the International Rescue Committee, or IRC, which helps with refugees worldwide. The IRC has a program where donors can buy rescue gifts to go to specific needs of refugees. So the rescue gift that we are raising money to purchase is the Safe Passage Gift. For $36, the IRC will provide information about medical and asylum services and what to do if a family is separated. They will also provide transportation to medical and asylum centers for refugees. Our goal is to raise $360 so that we can buy 10 of these Safe Passage gifts. So today we have our bake sale outside where you can buy all our goodies for only $1, or you can just donate so that we can reach this goal. Thank you.
Thank you. On a personal note, I have to say that Ariana was a first grader in my class years ago. I almost didn't recognize you, sweetheart, but I'm very proud of you girls.
Good morning, church. My name is Melanie Oliver, the Christian Education Director here at FUMC, and I'd like to invite all the kiddos up front, please. A lot of big kids, yay. That's because we're doing Tai Chi with Theta today. We're so excited. And Zeke, come on up, Zeke. Hi, big kid. Look at this big guy. Hi, Zeke, buddy.
You weren't here. You weren't here on Sunday.
Hey, buddy. So do any of you all recognize this box?
That's the box that we use. I think actually, no, I didn't hold that box.
I was going to say, you maybe held this box.
I held that one multiple years ago.
Okay, so what's it from? Do you remember?
It's from the Christmas pageant for the three wise men.
Right, this is one of the wise men's gifts, right?
Yeah, because it looks like a gift.
It does, doesn't it? What makes it look like a gift, Zeke?
Because it's a present box.
Present box?
It's green.
Yeah. It's green. Does it have a pretty bow?
It has a golden bow.
It's very fancy.
Sometimes there's no snow in all places.
You're right about that. Yeah, this looks like a Christmas gift. It reminds us of winter. There's not always snow everywhere, huh? Thank you, Jesus.
Feeling there's going to be pebbles inside.
Yeah. No, never mind. I can't show you what's inside yet. Are y'all excited when you get a gift?
Trust.
You what?
I saw a rainbow.
Did you? Wonder what's in there.
Oh, that's pretty interesting.
Are you excited when you get a gift?
I'm excited when I get a gift.
Raise your hand if you love to get a gift. Congregation, raise your hand if you love to give a gift. Yeah. Okay. So.
I like giving gifts.
If I gave you this gift and I said you owe me $5, is it a gift?
No.
Right? What makes it a gift?
It's a gift because you're giving it to someone else.
Right.
And
say that again, Lucy. You're giving it out of the goodness of your heart, right, on your birthday.
Like my mom's birthday, which was yesterday.
I saw that on Facebook. Did she have a good day?
Why is everyone looking on Facebook?
So
I know, but she, got emails from people she didn't even know for, years.
That's awesome. That makes her feel special. That's kind of a gift, huh? Okay, so God's grace. Tell me about God's grace. Somebody, what does that mean when we say, oh, God's grace? What's that about?
Jesus forgives your sins, okay. And that's kind of like his gift to the world.
Right. God's gift to the world.
Free.
God's gift. That's the craziest thing.
The crazy. No, it doesn't make sense, does it? He gave us this wonderful person named Jesus. That's his gift. And God's grace means that the things that we do when we're human, the sins, the things that we do that are wrong, God forgives us and says, you have mercy and I love you. But when we get a gift, do we just think, oh, it's so pretty, I'm going to sit it on the shelf. I'm going to put it up here on the altar. We're not going to open it.
We can.
What do you think? Does that make the gift fun? No, it's more fun to open it up and see what's inside, right? The same with God's grace. We want to enjoy it. And
presents are not inside a present box like my castle and my wagon.
Those are way too big to be in a box, huh? So they had to just come out with, that's kind of like God's grace and God's love for us. We can't wrap it in a gift. Okay, let's get to it. Let's open this up and see what's inside. Hey, now what's inside? Come and look. What's in the gift? Everybody pick one thing.
He's like, straight for the gift.
Everybody pick one thing. It's so hard to decide.
Give this to you and say you're the world.
Aww, I love it.
I don't. I feel like you have it better. Than
you sure did. Look. Okay. Did everybody get a gift? Do you want to get another something?
No, fine. You can have it.
I love it.
Oh my gosh! I know what I'm gonna do today. I'm gonna annoy my mom with
the same thing. Did everybody get one?
Yeah, I feel like you're gonna just.
Okay. Awesome. Let's hold it up. Okay, let's grab the hand of the person next to you. And we're going to thank God for the gift of his grace and love. Okay, grab Hannah's hand, Zeke. Zeke, grab Hannah's hand. There you go. Dear God, thank you for these precious children and for the families they represent. Thank you for the gift after gift after gift after gift of grace and love you give us every day. Help us to unwrap it so that we can share it with others and enjoy it and explore it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Say, somebody get those gifts.
I think there were extras that
maybe... Somebody take them.
Someone just probably just took three and then they were...
Hey, you forgot...
No, you keep that one.
Why don't they keep it?
You don't have to. You can give it away. Give it to somebody else.
Oh, darn it. I thought you should put it in the box.
Yeah. Our scripture reading this morning is from the New Revised Standard version of the Bible, the book of John, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. May God bless under our understanding of his word.
Will you please join me in prayer? May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts and the living of this day be holy and sacred in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So how many of you have heard this scripture before? Okay, how many of you have seen it at like baseball games? Like the guy holding the sign, John 3:16. This is probably the most like misinterpreted, misunderstood scripture in the entire gospel. I mean, it's everywhere. And to take it out of context is really problematic. We have to see the scripture in the context in which it is. Like, preceding it is the story of Nicodemus, who, you know, preferred to visit Jesus in the darkness instead of coming to Jesus during the light of day. So this scripture, it's been used and misused to exclude people, to basically say that there are some people who are saved and some who aren't. And frankly, like I was talking to Pam before service, and when I saw that this was the scripture this morning, I was like, oh God, like what am I going to say about the scripture reading? We have to put it in context. So if we start, there's the historical reference. How many of you are familiar with the historical reference? With the serpents? So, like, basically, when the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, they disobeyed God. They complained, they griped. God had given them food. And so they were complaining about everything, and God sent serpents to bite them and kill them. And so finally Moses intervened, and God said to Moses, take a bronze serpent, put it on a stick and hold it up. And any time that someone's bit, if they look at this serpent, they'll be healed. So imagine that, facing our fears, facing the things that we don't like about ourselves, facing the darkness and being healed by it. So the Israelites would look at this serpent and be healed. I don't know about you, but I don't like facing those dark places in my own life, those places that psychologists like to call the shadow self. For those who went to Costa Rica, many of you know my nickname is Big Al. And without getting into like psychological history, Big Al was a part of myself that protected me from real and imagined danger. So Big Al is my shadow self. So this scripture used as soundbite, protests, we've all seen it. Tim Tebow, his eyes, like the black under his eyes, what does it say? John 3:16. It's been a trademark for evangelical Christians. We need to reclaim this text and not take it out of context, because out of context, it implies that there are those who matter and those that don't matter. There are those who are saved and those who are not saved, insiders, outsiders, judgment, and condemnation. But the scripture reminds us that God loves the entire world. So what is it about the scripture that's troubling? Sometimes I think we have to get dragged kicking and screaming to the light. Who wants to face the light? I mean, how many of us prefer denial? The light, we can't control it. The light is beyond our control. And I find it ironic that this scripture is used on a day in which we try to control the light. We try to save the light. I mean, what is today called, right? Daylight savings. So the irony of this scripture, I can't help but like look at that. We've decided to love darkness over light. A quick scroll through our social media, through Facebook, through everything, reminds us that we prefer mean-spiritedness. We prefer jokes, gossip, to the light. I mean, how many of us watched the Academy Awards and listened to the commentary about what people are wearing and, like, the criticism? And the world we live in can be so mean-spirited, and we prefer this to the light. St. Thomas once said, "A man is good when his will takes joy in what is good, evil when his will takes joy in what is evil." Do we wish those around us goodwill, or do we wish, like, bad things to happen to people? That's what St. Thomas is saying. Like, we need to look at our enemies, look at the people around us, and wish them well, and say, we want goodwill for all of you. The things we love tell us what we are. They tell us if we prefer darkness to light. Do we gossip? Do we say mean things about others? Person who sins shows remorse. This person is not a sinner in the full sense of the world. So, like, if we sin and actually show remorse, we're not a full sinner. I mean, we get to, like, repent and feel good about, like, what we are and who we are. Living is the constant adjustment of thought to life and life to thought in such a way that we're always growing, always experiencing new things in the old and old things in the new. This life is always new. So Sigmund Freud once said that psychological health is being able to tolerate ambiguity and ambivalence. How many of us are able to tolerate ambiguity and ambivalence? Do we see things as black and white? Or are we able to, like, live into the gray? This scripture came home to me. I'll go off. When I was thinking about darkness and light, this scripture became real to me when I was in Gilroy, and there was this woman, Claudia, lovely, lovely woman, full of light, full of love, compassion for the world, and her son heard voices in his head. And these voices were dark voices. And these voices commanded him to, like, do horrible things, to hurt his mom. And so Claudia, on Christmas Eve, went to church, sang in the choir, was inspired, went home and wrote a note to her son and said, "I will never, ever give up on you." And that was Christmas Eve. Christmas Day, Matthew, the son, took a baseball bat and bludgeoned his mother, like, killed her. And the only way I could make sense of this horrible, horrible thing was he kept saying, "She's not going to give up on me." The light in her was so profound, so beautiful, that she said, "I will never give up on you." And the darkness in him could not handle this. So he tried to kill what was beautiful in her. And the only way I could wrap my head around it was to say he could not kill the light. He tried to bludgeon it, he tried to kill it, but that light was unleashed upon the world. That's the only way I could make sense of this. So what do we do with darkness and light? Where are the dark places in our lives? Where are the light places in our lives? Do we prefer darkness? Do we prefer mean-spiritedness? Or do we prefer to live in the light? This scripture is difficult. It's troubling. And I invite you all to wrestle with it, not simplify it, not try to turn it into a soundbite, not put it on your sweatshirt or jersey, but live this scripture out in the world. Amen. So I'll start with Joyce. Helen Bride has an 85th birthday this week, so for this joy, we say thanks be to God. And Lisa Node, her birthday is tomorrow. Hi, Lisa. So for this joy, we say thanks be to God. And concerns, Shara Blind asked for prayers for the Medina family in San Jose. The father passed away last night. So for the Medina family, we lift our concern to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayers. And Don Myers asks for a prayer for Marilyn Scott, living a lung cancer, chemo, radiation, kidney, and Bob Anderson, kidney cancer. They will be removing the bad one. So for Marilyn and Bob, we lift our concern to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayers. Will you please join me in prayer? Most gracious and loving God, we come this morning with so many different things on our minds and our hearts. Some of us come with great sorrows and or troubles. Others come with great joy. We come to be a community of faith, a community that supports and cares and loves each other. We come to hopefully be inspired to do all the best that we can in the world around us, to help others, to create a kinder and gentler world around us. We thank you for this day. We thank you for all our many blessings, for good friends and support. But we also lift up all those sorrows and all the hurt that's around us and in our lives. And we humbly, humbly ask this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Scott has an announcement.
I'll go here.
Okay, thank you.
That was close. I had to give her the visual cue that when you announce that, when you ask for a little bit of time, right 2 minutes before church starts, you can't expect her to necessarily remember. My name is Scott Olson, for those of you who don't know me, and this morning I just wanted to get up and once again ask from the bottom of my heart for your support for the Kairos ministry. So the team has formed for Kairos number 21. We are going inside the California State Prison Sacramento, CSP SAC as we call it. We're going in the weekend of April the 13th, 14th. And I was just in last Thursday, and there's a gentleman, one of the inmates, he's the elected leader of the church inside the institution. His name is Derek. Sometimes he goes by the name Coop or DC. And Coop he's a wonderful man. Something that was interesting about Coop was that he was supposed to be paroled late last year. And that was delayed. And I had a chance to ask him about that on Thursday. And something profound, he's been in the institution for 18 years. And he wants more than anything to be out of that place, like anyone who spent 18 years in a concrete four-walled cell would. And he I said, how are you feeling about this delay in your release? And he said, God wants me, God still has work for me to do in here, and that's okay. That is remarkable. And he shared a writing that I'm not going to read because it's a little long, but I got some goosebumps as Allison was delivering the message this morning, because from Apostle Derek, as he calls himself, Coop, the title of his talk was From the Grave to Grace. And so Melanie's children's moment and Allison's talk this morning made me think, wow, did Coop know we were going to? And he said, I'll just read the first sentence, from the grave to God's grace is nothing but a minor change. If we allow God to tweak just one letter and insert another, we change from living in a dead life in our grave to being alive in Christ and living in His grace. One letter difference. And he goes on to explain what his definition of those two letters, V and C, are. And it's a wonderful writing. So how can you help to support the Kairos ministry? One is by tracing your hand on a piece of colored paper, cutting it out, and writing a short little statement of your support of those men inside the institution, what you would wish for them. This one says, Jesus loves you, this I know. And so you could cut as many of those out as you would like. We hang these up inside the room, and the gymnasium becomes a colorful and beautiful place with this agape. Another way that you could help to support this is by way of baking cookies. And we need lots of cookies. We'll go through about 200 or so dozen cookies in that weekend. 775. Huh? 775 dozen cookies we will go through in that four-day weekend. And so we need lots of cookies. The only real rules are no fruit inside the cookie, no sprinkles or things or stuff on top of the cookies. Simple cookies, about 3 inches around. You put a dozen of them in a quart-size bag, and those need to be delivered to the church on April the 8th. If you need more information about cookies, either see myself, Christy, Butch, or Maybelle Henry, or my mom. Any of those folks can give you information on cookies. Finally, the weekend takes about $4,000. Food is a big part of the ministry. And it costs about $4,000 for us to put on a weekend. And so for my family, the suggested donation from each Kairos participant is $175. For my family, that's $350. To participate in one weekend. I do that twice a year. That's $700. As a man with a family, that's a difficult thing for me to do. So I do always stand up and ask if I can have your help. There's a fishbowl on the back, just below the sound booth. If there's anything that you can spare, it helps, and I appreciate it. We appreciate it. To the support of this ministry. This church has been awesome in supporting Kairos. I would just ask for that support to continue. And if you have any questions about the ministry, don't hesitate to ask me or any of us that are involved. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. I should have had you do the message this morning. May we go forth in peace and love and caring for each other. Go in love. Amen.